Sports is on the air. Laser Company. Soon the Milwaukee Braves and New York Yankees will take the field for the fifth game in this exciting World Series. To show our appreciation of your support, Gillette presents this and other major sports events all year round, including the Rose Bowl game, Blue-Gray game, Kentucky Derby, All-Star Baseball game, and the Fight of the Week every Friday night. This broadcast is authorized under broadcasting rights granted by the Commissioner of Baseball solely for the entertainment of our listening audience. And any publication, rebroadcast, or other use of the descriptions and accounts of this game without the express consent of the commissioner is prohibited. A beautiful sunshiny afternoon here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, as the starting pitchers for the fifth game of this 1957 World Series are listing up those money arms. It's going to be a southpaw for manager Casey Stengel's Yankees, Whitey Ford, who was the victor over Warren Spahn in the opening game of the series last Wednesday afternoon at Yankee Stadium. Ford thus goes into action this year in the series with one victory and no defeats. In his lifetime of World Series play, Whitey has five wins and two defeats. During the regular 1957 American League season, the curveballing left-hander won 11 ball games while losing five. I say curveballing because the Braves players, after looking at Ford for the first time in their careers last Wednesday at Yankee Stadium, said he threw about 85% curveballs in winning the ball game by that score of 3-1. Ford's earned run average in 1957 was a very sharp 2.58. He stands 5 feet 10, weighs 181 pounds, and he is 28 years old. His opponent, right-hander and fidgety Lou Burdette, who also has chalked up a victory in this series, beating the Yankees by a score of 4-2 at Yankee Stadium in the second game of the series. Burdette, last year, or during the regular National League season, chalked up 17 wins against 9 defeats. His earned run average was 3.71. He stands 6'2", weighs 180 pounds, and he is 30 years old. Now, this game today, as far as both teams are concerned, is probably the biggest game so far of the series, as they go into it with two victories apiece. The winner today must win only one game of the remaining two games at Yankee Stadium, while the loser, in order to win the 1957 World Series, would have to take both ends of the games at Yankee Stadium. So manager Casey Stengel goes with his left-hander, Whitey Ford. Manager Fred Haney with right-hander Lou Burdette. And a sad note for Yankee fans today is the fact that the Yankees must go without their great center fielder, Mickey Mantle, who left the ball game yesterday in the 10th inning, reporting to the Yankee bench, and he let manager Casey Stengel know that he was being bothered severely by a bad right shoulder injured in a collision with Red Sandy in a pickoff play in Saturday's game here at Milwaukee County Stadium. So there has been a very definite change in that Yankee lineup, with Mickey Mantle out of there and Tony Kubek, who has played third base and left field, and who so far has been the batting star of the series, being shifted over to center field, replacing Mickey Mantle and the older veteran, Enid Country Slaughter, back in left field for Casey Stengel. We have a very beautiful afternoon. The weatherman certainly has cooperated wholeheartedly in these three games at Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The temperature today is 62 degrees. Humidity is 57%. The wind is blowing out of the northeast and blowing at 12 miles an hour. If anything, it will help the long ball hitting left-handed batter. Now the starting lineup for the New York Yankees. It'll be Hank Bauer in right field. Tony Kubek in center field. Gil McDougald at short. Yogi Berra catching. Enid Slaughter in left. Kerry Simpson playing at first base. Jerry Luffy at third base. Jerry Coleman at second base. And Whitey Ford, the pitcher. For Milwaukee, Red Sandy at second base. Johnny Logan at short. Eddie Matthews, one of the big heroes of yesterday's Milwaukee victory, playing at third base. Henry Aaron in center field. Joe Adcock at first base. Andy Pasco in right field. Wes Covington in left. Joe Crandall catching. And Lou Burdette is the pitcher. Now, a resume, a very quick resume of the first four games of the series. Last Wednesday at Yankee Stadium, it was Whitey Ford against and over Warren Spahn, 3-1. On Thursday, Lou Burdette beat Bobby Dent 4-2 to even the series at one victory apiece. On Saturday afternoon, the New York Yankees pounded out a 12-3 victory over Milwaukee, with right-hander Don Larson picking up the victory, Bob Buell taking the loss. Yesterday, by far the most exciting game of this series, and one of the most exciting games witnessed by many of the veteran writers and broadcasters who have covered World Series for many years, went to Milwaukee in 10 innings, 7-5 on a dramatic home run by Eddie Matthews in the last half of the 10th inning. Fans, the 1957 World Series is being brought to you from County Stadium in Milwaukee.
This is John Cameron Swayze with news of a significant advance in the science of writing. In my years of news reporting, I've had many a pen stop writing just when I needed it most. You've probably had the same trouble. Chances are you weren't out of ink. The ink was simply clogged. Ink clogging, you see, is the major reason most ball pens stop writing. After years of research, PaperMate has discovered an exclusive new ink formula with an amazing additive called Trojan that ends ink clogging. Because of its remarkable lubricating and anti-clogging properties, PaperMate's new ink formula with Trojan writes all the time and every time, even on hard-to-write surfaces such as checks, glossy photos, even glass. So get smooth, dependable writing. Get a PaperMate, the only pen that has the exclusive new ink formula with amazing Trojan. You can still buy the new PaperMate Piggyback Capri at no increase in price.
The umpires this afternoon will line up like this. Joe Paparella of the American League behind the plate. Jack O'Connell of the National League at first base. Bill McKinley of the American League at second base. Augie Donatelli of the National League at third base. Frank Sicori of the senior circle will be down the left field line. And Nestor Shylock of the American League down the right field line. Another capacity crowd, and they still move into their seats here at County Stadium. And one of the oddities so far of the 57 World Series is the fact that on Saturday and Sunday, the total number of fans out here was the same. On Saturday, 45,804. On Sunday afternoon, 45,804. And with four games played today, a total attendance of 226,286. A closer look at the boys will be holding the national spotlight this afternoon. Lou Burdette, who had a hot streak from July the 7th to September the 4th, winning 9 games and losing 1 in the National League race. He was 5-1 against one of the National League's really tough ball clubs this season, Cincinnati. A very strong lineup, and especially tough against a right-handed pitcher. Lou won the second game of this year's World Series, October the 3rd, at Yankee Stadium, 4-2. He allowed the New Yorkers 7 base hits. He walked 3 and struck out 5. Both runs scored by the Yankees were earned. Whitey Ford won the first game of the World Series, October 2nd, at New York, defeating the Braves 3-1. He allowed Milwaukee 5 hits. Walked 4 and struck out 5. The Braves' run was earned. His series record is now 5 victories and 2 defeats for 5 classics. Back in 1950 against the Phillies, he had 1 victory against no defeats. In 1953 against the Brooklyn Dodgers, no wins and 1 loss. In 1955 against the Dodgers, 2 wins and no defeats. And last year against Brooklyn, Whitey Ford won 1 game and lost 1. So, as a total in series competition, the great Yankee left-hander, who was bothered very much early in the 1957 season by a sore left shoulder, and that soreness moved down to the left elbow. He has worked 54 2/3 innings in World Series action. He has allowed 48 base hits, 17 walks, and 21 runs, of which 16 have been earned, and he has struck out 37. and his earned run average in World Series competition, a brilliant 2.62. So we go to the fifth game of this fall classic. As I mentioned earlier, both teams cognizant of the fact that this is the big game, as the Braves must move back to the American League ballpark, Yankee Stadium. They, of course, are gunning for this one, as are the New York Yankees. As the team who wins will have only one of the remaining two games to win the 1957 World Series. Now, the umpires are moving to their positions as manager Casey Stengel and manager Bud Haney have handed in their official batting orders. The members of the United States Army Color Guard participating here at today's flag-raising ceremony, now assembling down along the left field foul line, are wearing the new Army green uniform. And incidentally, today marks the first day that Army greens are being worn by soldiers throughout the far-flung Army. Whitey Ford has not left the warm-up position. He is still on the mound down in front of the third-base box seat, but standing at attention now while the right-hander, Lou Burdett, has finished his warm-up tosses and has moved into the Milwaukee dugout. Now the color guard moving across the left field foul line. Ballpark jam-packed, all set for game number 5. Whitey Ford against Lou Burdett. And incidentally, one of the big heroes yesterday for Milwaukee was third baseman Eddie Matthews, who, going into the fourth game of the series, had gone hitless in 8 times at bat. Yesterday, his first time up, he made out going 0 for 9. Then he doubled, and in the last half of the 10th inning, after Johnny Logan had come through with a big clutch base hit, a double down the left field line to drive in the tying run at 5-5. Logan on second base. Matthews found the range for his first home run of the World Series. He had hit 32 during the regular campaign, and the Braves won a very exciting ball game out here, 7-5 in 10 innings. That was the game in which Warren Spahn had the 4-1 lead with 2 outs in the top half of the ninth inning, but the Yankees, who never say die, came up with a couple of base hits by Yogi Berra and by Gil McDougal. And then the first baseman, Elston Howard, who had been hitless, hit a long home run on a 3-2 pitch with 2 outs in a left field seat to tie the game at 4-4. And now here is Marvin Moran leading the fans out here in the singing of our national anthem. Let's join him.
WGFN Schenectady.
The Milwaukee Braves have taken the playing field with Wes Covington going to left, Henry Aaron to center field, and Andy Papko to right field. Eddie Matthews at third base, Johnny Logan at short, Rhett Shandines at second base, and Joe Adcock at first base. Fidgety Lou Burdett moving out towards the mound now to begin his warm-up throws down to the catcher, Del Crandall. And a gentleman who is all warmed up and ready to go with the first 4.5 innings of game number 5 in this 1957 World Series from Cleveland, Ohio, Bob Neal.
Thank you very much, Earl, and hello, everybody. A beautiful, sunshiny day. The temperature just a little higher than it has been previously in the World Series games played here in Milwaukee. It's about 62 degrees. And the Milwaukee Braves, who are heartened by their victory, their comeback victory yesterday, after facing almost certain defeat when the Yankees pushed over the big run in the 10th inning, but who were able to come bouncing back with a home run to win it. And the townspeople of this great city had a parade last night. They were not formal parades, but impromptu affairs that made it sound like it was all over. And today they're back here trying to add one more to the belt before they depart for New York and the conclusion of this, the 1957 World Series. Lou Burdette is out there taking his warm-up tosses to Del Crandall. He's making a list this morning of the innings that have been played in the previous four games, and I have found that in the first inning, the Yankees of the previous four games have scored a total of four runs. So today, Lou Burdette goes out there, hopeful not only of adding a victory, but of trying to hold the Yankees down to no runs in the first inning, as has been the case in the last two games. Hank Bauer is up there. He has hit safely in his last 11 games in the World Series, 4 for 19. Right-hand batter. Pitch comes down to him, and he ducks away from a fastball inside for ball one. Burdette has a tendency to jump at the batter. Gives it that extra motion, and sometimes the batter takes his eye off the ball. Bauer standing there, three-quarters deep in the right-hand batter's box. The pitch to him, strike call with a fastball over the outside corner. One ball, one strike. The outfield for Milwaukee shaded around to the left. Eddie Matthews in close at third. And the outfield for Milwaukee has Covington in left, Aaron in center, Papp going right. With Matthews at third, Logan at short, Shane Deans at second, and Adcock at first. The pitch comes down. A little looper hit out in the left field. Coming hard is Covington. The ball dropping in front of him for a base hit. So Hank Bauer starts things off for the Yankees with a looper hit out in the left field. And in there for a base hit. And the Yankees get their first hit off Lou Burdette here in a rather crucial game in which the Yankees today will have six left-handed batters in their lineup, three right-handers, Kubek. Batting from the left side has played third base, has played left field, and today is playing center field. Yesterday was moved over to center field when Mickey Mantle was removed for Enos Slaughter. Kubek has seven hits and 17 times at bat. Strong lad. The pitch by Burdette is a fastball strike. There is a left-hander working in the Milwaukee bullpen already, and that's Taylor Phillips. So Fred Haney is not wasting any time. The wind is blowing in from left field. Burdette taking his time. He works around, uses a lot of rosin, and as Earl described it, he's a nervous, fidgety sort of a fellow. There's a bunt in front of the plate. Out for it is Crandall. Grabbed by Burdette, throws to first, moving down to second on the sacrifice is Hank Bauer. So Kubek, who bunted safely in the series, now finds himself moving a runner along the second. And the ball taken by the pitcher, Lou Burdette, the throw made to Joe Adcock, and it's a 1-3 out. With Bauer moving to second on the sacrifice. So the outfield is pulled around to the left now as Gil McDougall stands in there, three hits and 13 times at bat, batting .231. Bright sunshine makes a big glare bouncing off that infield. Pitched by Burdette to McDougall, right-hand batter, is low and inside for ball one. Gil with 3 for 13 with a .231 average, a right-hand batter. He'll be followed by Barra, Slaughter, Simpson, Lumpy, all left-hand batters. So Hank Bauer with his hit guarantees that he will hit safely in 12 consecutive games, 7 from last year, and 5 including this one today. Ready to work now is Burdette. The look to second. The pitch is swung on. A looper hit out into right field. Coming hard for it is Papko. He grabs the ball. Makes the throw to second, but back safely. Ball rolls through both Shane Deans and Logan. Andy Papko making a knee-high grab of a little looper hit out into right field. So McDougal is out number two. And the batter now is Yogi Berra. Yogi has four hits and 14 times at bat in the series, batting .286. Burdette is two-thirds of the way out of a jam. But as has been the case so many times in baseball, that does not guarantee freedom. That's Warren Spahn, who yesterday was two-thirds of the way into winning a ball game and then suddenly found it all tied up. Barra standing in there. Outfield straight away for him. Change-up curve is high and outside for ball one to Yogi. Going out for a chat now with his pitcher is Del Crandall. Johnny Logan is playing with his left leg with a shin guard pad on there. He had an infection in an old game with the Cincinnati Redlegs in which he was spiked at second. They had to work on it yesterday, and today it's padded, and Shane Dean has his right leg all padded up from a ball that he fouled off in a game against Chicago. So the middle part of the infield today has their, well, let's say their shin guards on. Merrill waiting as Lou Burdette fidgets a little, now stretches, looks back to second. The pitch comes down to Yogi, and it's outside for ball two. Two and nothing. Lou Burdette from Nitro, West Virginia, who now lives in Sarasota, Florida. Stands 6 foot two, 180 pounds. He has a World Series victory under his belt, and he's trying to pick off number two. Hank Bauer is on at second. Burdette taking a look around to see where everybody's playing. He's got them all squared away. Shane Dean backs up a few steps at second. Yesterday, Bauer lined two to the right side. There's a fastball over the outside corner for strike one. Two balls and one strike now to Yogi Berra. Shane Dean says move back a little to give him a little more room to range. Yogi was able to hit two between the first baseman and the second baseman yesterday. Joe Adcock backed up at first guarding that foul line. And Lou Burdette looks into Del Crandall, takes his stretch, and he looks back to second, and he delivers, and it's a curve inside for ball three. Three balls, one strike. Joe Paparella, the American League, is calling balls and strikes. Jock O'Connell of the National League at first. Bill McKinley of the American League at second, and Augie Donatelli of the National League at third, with Frank Sicori down the right field foul line, and Nestor Shylock of the American League down the left field line. It's 3:15 down the right field line, and it's 3:20 down the left field line. And the breezes are blowing in from left field, but a beautiful day here in Milwaukee. Ready now is Burdette. Three balls, one strike. The pitch to Barra. Swings and lines one foul. Yogi trying to lash one into left field. 3-2. Frankie Grissetti coaching down at third. Charlie King Kong Keller coaching at first for the Yankees. Hank Bauer, the base runner at second with good speed, leading away. And waiting on deck is the veteran Ina Slaughter. So Burdette dances around a little, excavates a little dirt. Keeps moving that foot. Shakes the glove off. He doesn't like that one. Now he's set to go. He looks back now, and the payoff pitch comes down to Barra. He swings. Ground ball down to Logan. The shortstop up with a throw to first, and he's out. The inning's over. Well, in the first inning for the New York Yankees, no runs. They had one hit, no errors, and one man left on for New York. And at the end of the first half of the first inning, we have no score. You know, Yogi Berra and Del Crandall have something in common. Del led the National League 1 year in double plays for catchers. Berra led the American League for 5 years. So they're also two of the best in the business at concealing their signals to the pitchers. Now, you'll find out how they call them in signals, the secret language of baseball, and it's yours free with a purchase of a Gillette razor. From an actual film of Paul Richards, manager of the Baltimore Orioles, you see the inside secrets of Major League signals demonstrated in fingertip movies. You zip the eight reels off your thumb, you see how big leaguers use the flash sign, the pump, the combination, the holding sign. You see how the bunt is called, the steal or the hit and run. You learn who gives the signs and when to watch for them. Everything about this hush-hush side of baseball. What a lot of fun it is to, well, try to catch the signs. And the basis for them all is in signals, the secret language of baseball. It's free with the Gillette Super Speed Razor of your choice, light, regular, or heavy. And what shave you get with a razor matched to your face. Clean, clean, comfortable. $1 is all it costs for razor, Gillette Blue Blade dispenser, travel case, and signal. The secret language of baseball is attached, and it's free. Last half of the first inning, Red Chandings is up there for the Milwaukee Braves. He's had 5 hits and 17 times at bat. And he is certainly one of the most popular men in Milwaukee. And in all of baseball. The outfield's around the left. He's a switch hitter. He's batting from the right side. Whitey Ford, the wind up, the pitch, it's high, inside, ball one. Shane Dean got one of the 5 hits off Whitey Ford in Whitey's 3-1 victory. Covington had two. Whitey rocks and delivers, and it's a curveball for a strike, 1-1. Yankees have Jerry Lumpy playing at third, McDougal at short, Coleman at second, and Simpson at first. In left field is Slaughter, and Ford delivers the 1-1 pitch. A bouncer down to the shortstop. Gil McDougal bobbles it for a moment, recovers, throws, he's out. Moore rolled up Gill's arm, bounced off his chest, and he was able to bounce it right back into his throwing hand and shoot it over. One out for the Milwaukee Braves in the first inning. Scoreless ball game, and Johnny Logan is up there. As Johnny moves into that right-hand batter's box, you can notice that his left leg does appear larger with that shin guard in there. Johnny, with four hits and 14 times at bat in the series, batting .286. Pitched by Ford to him, a fastball over the outside corner for a strike. Whitey, although he's not the biggest man who works on the mound in either league, throws the ball with plenty of zip. Here's the one-strike pitch to him. A ground ball hit down the third baseline, curving foul. Bounces off the outstretched hands of the fans in the temporary box seats and recovered by a gentleman out there. Throws it back in. Two strikes. Ford can pump that ball, and he has that surprising fastball. He's 5'10", 181 pounder from Glen Cove, New York, and his birthday is in the month of October. A lot of October birthday boys. Fastball inside. One ball, two strikes now to Johnny Logan. Nobody on for Milwaukee. One out and no score. Big hole open in right center field as Kubek is shaded over in left center. Jerry Coleman, the second baseman, shaded over near second base and the left side of the infield backed up. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Fastball outside. Two balls, two strikes now to Logan. Johnny Ryan, the third base coach, watches as Logan grabs a handful of dirt, flexes the back muscles, and steps back in. Marty Ford looking into Yogi Berra. Starts into his windup, and here's the 2-2 pitch to Logan. Swings on a fastball, slices it foul downstairs. So Logan may have had a little idea of slapping that ball into right field. Johnny steps back in as Whitey Ford gets a new ball, rubs it up. Yogi undoubtedly is doing a lot of talking. He's the talkingest catcher in baseball. Here's the 2-2 pitch now to Logan. He swings, hits the proper back of second. Drifting back there is Jerry Coleman out on the outfield grass. He's got room, and he's got it for out number two. So two up, and two up. Two balls and two strikes suddenly becomes a pop-up to the right side and grabbed by Jerry Coleman. And the batter's Eddie Matthews, who certainly got a well-deserved reception from his fans for his great performance yesterday. Takes a curve, big breaker, outside ball one. Matthews has only two hits and 12 times at bat in the series, both coming in yesterday's game, and both certainly being the big ones for the Braves. Ford stands out there. He has two out in the last half of the first inning. He's pitching now to Matthews, left-hand batter. The next pitch to him, a curveball. He's outside and low, ball two. Two and nothing. Whitey Ford, a little disturbed with himself for his lack of control, moves around, sets a new sight. He winds, and the two-ball pitch is a strike. That ball over the outside corner, just under the ladder. 2-1 now to Matthews. Eddie has that left foot right on the back restraining line. Wind up by Ford, delivers to Matthews, a strike with a fastball, 2-2. An ability to show that curveball, and then when they're looking for it, come back to that fastball. Jerry Coleman has moved back out into short right field. Harry Simpson back on the edge of the outfield grass at first. The 2-2 pitch is a curveball inside. Three balls, two strikes now to Eddie Matthews. On deck is Hank Aaron. We have a scoreless ball game, fifth game of the 1957 World Series, and the Braves and the Yankees find themselves all tied up. And after today, back to New York. And the conclusion of this, the Great Fall Classic. Ford is looking for the sign, reads it. Here's the windup, payoff pitch to Matthews on the way. Takes low, ball four. So Whitey Ford gives up his first base on balls. And as the Yankees had a man on in the first inning, Hank Bauer, who's single, Eddie Matthews gets on with a base on balls. And it brings up Hank Aaron. Winning performance, he walked four. That's Eddie Matthews, seventh walk in the series. Leads away, Simpson holds against him. And then a right-hand batter, the pitch by Ford, a fastball in close for ball one. The outfield is straight away for the Yankees. Hank Bauer was telling me that right field here in County Stadium is a little difficult in the early innings. You don't see the ball leave the bat. Pitch is swung on. A liner hit out to left field. Coming in for it is Enos Slaughter, and he grabs it. So Hank Aaron lines to Enos Slaughter in left field. And in the first inning for Milwaukee, no runs, no hits, no errors, one man left on. At the end of one inning of play, the score of Milwaukee is nothing, and New York has nothing.
This is Westbrook Van Voorhis with news from Papermate of a significant advance in the science of writing. In my years of news reporting, I've had many a pen stop writing just when I needed it the most. You probably had the same trouble. Chances are you weren't out of ink. The ink was simply clogged. Ink clogging, you see, is the major reason most ball pens stop writing. After years of research, Papermate has discovered an exclusive new ink formula with an amazing additive called Flojum that ends ink clogging. Because of its remarkable lubricating and anti-clogging properties, Papermate's new ink formula with Flojum writes all the time, every time, even on hard-to-write surfaces such as checks, glossy photos, even glass. Get a Papermate, the only pen that has the exclusive new ink formula with amazing Flojum. The Papermate Piggyback Capri is still just $1.95.
Second inning now for the New York Yankees. And looking over our results of the various innings in the four games played previously, the Yankees scored only one run in the previous four games in the second inning. And that was in the second game. The Milwaukee Braves in the second game had a run in the second and had one in the third game. So Enos Slaughter moves in there now in the top of the second inning. Scoreless ball game. Enos has one hit and three times at bat, batting .333 in the series. Field is straight away. Eddie Matthews fairly close at third against his left-hand batter. Wind up by Burdett and a pitch to Slaughter. Swings, hits a bounce to the right side, moving over Shane Dean. Can't get a base hit in the right field. Shane Dean rolled over on the outfield grass. Base hit for Slaughter. He's on at first. So the Yankees opened in the first inning with a single. They had the runner sacrificed to second, and then the Milwaukee Braves were able to hold them there. Slaughter opens things up here in the second with a slide in the right center. Second hit off Burdett. And Harry Simpson, who is playing first base today for the Yankees, steps up there. Simpson has one hit and six times at bat in the series, .167 average, left-hand batter. Shane Deans may have hurt himself, the trainer for the Milwaukee Braves, coming out to see if he's all right. Is now stretching his knees to make sure that he's all right. Mayor Mantle is out of the lineup for the Yankees. And Shane Dean, the man who was involved in the collision with him, now says he's all right. So the trainer moves out of there. And play will be resumed as Harry Simpson moves in. Yankees with a base runner at first and Enos Slaughter. Phillips is up and throwing again, the left-hander for the Braves. In close at third is Matthews. The pitch to Simpson, a fastball outside, ball one. Lou Burdett in trouble here in the second inning as the Yankees get their lead batter on. Simpson to be followed by Lumpy and Jerry Coleman. Joe Adcock holding against the runner Slaughter. Matthews in close, and the pitch comes down out of Simpson. He looks at a fastball too low, ball two. So Burdett walks in halfway to the plate, takes the ball from Del Crandall. Burdett walked three in his winning effort, gave up seven hits and struck out five. He's ready to work, takes the stretch, looks to first, delivers, and it's outside, ball three, 3-0. So Lou Burdett has pitched three straight bat balls. Now as Harry Simpson takes a look down at Frankie Crisetti, coaching at third, to see whether he's to take or whether he's to swing away. Simpson with a very close stance, a reverse of Joe Adcock of the Braves. Left-hand batter. The pitch is a strike with a fastball just above the knees on the inside corner. Three balls, one strike. And again, Simpson looks down. Crisetti touching his elbow, hooking up the sides of his trousers, touching the peak of his cap. cadet looking in as Crandall goes through his sign. Lou nods his head, looks to first. Here's a 3-1 pitch. There goes the runner. A swing, a ground ball foul. Slaughter had taken off, and the hit and run apparently was on. Slaughter moving with the pitch. Simpson swinging and fouling it off. So it's 3-2, and Enos Slaughter comes back to first. Nobody out. The Yankees batting here in the top half of the second inning. And the pace a little slower as Lou Burdette, who is in no hurry to rush into any trouble, stands out there concentrating on every move that he makes. He looks to first. Slaughter leads away. 3-2 pitch comes down. A swing and a miss. Throw down to second, and Logan puts the ball on. Slaughter is out. So Harry Simpson strikes out. And Del Crandall, who led the National League, double plays for a catcher back a few years ago, throws down to the shortstop to get in a Slaughter. Nobody on and two out. And here comes the manager of the Milwaukee Braves, Fred Haney, and he's going to take Shane Deans out of there. Probably figures that it's better to have Shane Deans out of there and Felix Mantilla in to play second base with this game, the fifth game, rather than play Shane Deans today and possibly jeopardize the possibility of Shane Deans continuing in the series after today. So, Red Chandy, the big man for the Milwaukee Braves, is out of the ball game, and in there is Felix Mantilla, who performed in a tremendous way for the Braves during the regular season. The batter now is Lumpy, and the first pitch is swung on right in front of the plate. Crandall grabs it, shoots it down to Adcock. He's out. Crandall had to wait for that ball to hit the ground in order for it to be fair, and he grabbed it and then fired it down there, and the play goes from the catcher Crandall to Adcock, and in the second inning for the Yankees, no runs, one hit, no errors, and nobody left on. At the end of 1.5 innings of play, score is New York nothing, Milwaukee nothing. Well, Whitey Ford gets ready to move on out. He's rather quiet, careful gent, and he's trying to conserve his strength. You know, when Whitey fires that blazing fastball of his for a complete game, he's plenty pushed, but after a shower and a refreshing shave, well, he snaps right back. As Whitey puts it, a clean Gillette shave makes you feel like a new man, and that's for sure. Try a Gillette Super Speed Razor, light, regular, or heavy, that's matched to your face. You'll find out, if you don't know now, how a clean, comfortable shave gives you a lift. Choose the light Gillette Super Speed if you have a lighter beard, the regular if you have an average skin and beard, or if you have a heavy beard that's hard to shave, get the heavy. One has the precise blade edge exposure, edge angle, and weight to match your skin and beard. And right now, when you buy your Gillette Super Speed Razor, Gillette Blue Blade Dispenser and Travel Case at the regular price $1, you get absolutely free Signals, the secret language of baseball. Last half of the second inning for Milwaukee, and Felix Mantilla will go into the lineup now, and he will bat in Red Chandy's leadoff spot. Felix is just 23. He's from Puerto Rico. He stands 6 foot, and he's 160-pounder. In the last half of the second inning for the Braves, it'll be Joe Adcock leading off, right-hand batter. Adcock has 2 hits and 12 times at bat, however, has not had any extra base hits. Pitch by Ford, a swing and a grounder foul, rolling down to the third base coach, Connie Ryan. Adcock has that right foot pulled back and away from the plate, the left foot up close. Very much a closed stance because he has to swing over his leg. Here's the pitch. He swings a bouncer down the third baseline. Slow roller coming in. His Lumpy fires it across, and he's out by a step. Nice play by the third baseman for the Yankees, Jerry Lumpy. And there's one out in the last half of the second inning. Batter now for the Milwaukee Braves is Andy Pasco. He's had 1 hit and 10 times at bat in the series. He's batting 100. Andy really spreads out. Looks at a curveball, high and outside, ball one. The outfield is split, pulled around the left, with Slaughter in left, Kubek in left center, and Bauer in right. Jerry Coleman is playing almost back to second, the left side of the infield pulled around. Outside with a curve, and it's ball two. So the Yankees are playing Andy Pasco as a strictly pull hitter. Ford moves back of the rubber, takes a little walk back down off the mound. With a two-ball, no-strike count to Andy Pafko with one out in the last half of the second inning and no score. Ford has allowed only one Brave to get to first, and that was on a base on balls. A swing and a slice foul. And it's now two balls, one strike to Pafko. Fans sitting down in the back seats to the left and the right of the Milwaukee dugout get a lot of souvenirs from these right-hand batters who pile them off. 2-1 pitch. Swung on. A line drive hit on the left center field. It's going to drop in there for a base hit. That's the first hit off Whitey Ford. So the Braves get a man on with one out. As Andy Pafko, the veteran, strokes a single into left center field. And up now is Wes Covington. Covington, who was a big man for the Braves in the first two games, getting four hits in eight times at bat, has not had a base hit since the series has moved back to Milwaukee. So Covington, batting .267, a left-hand batter, bends way over at the waist, stands deep in the box, waits now as Whitey Ford, the left-hander, looks to first and delivers. Fastball, strike one call, over the outside corner to belt. The outfield playing straight away. Harry Simpson holding against the runner at first, Andy Pafko. Whitey Ford stretches, has a good move to first. Delivers now, a curveball is too high. One ball, one strike. One ball, one strike. Ford looking into Barra. Barra keeping his eye as Pafko leads away. Ford looks over there, delivers. There's a curve that snaps outside, ball two. Two balls and one strike now. Covington, surprisingly enough, a left-hand batter against a left-hand pitcher, has two of the base hits that Whitey Ford gave up in the first game, two of the five, and has two for four against Whitey. Two ball, one strike pitch is swung on, popper to the left side, backing up is Lumpy, the third baseman, and McDougal moves over. The sun bothering him, and McDougal grabs it in foul territory. Lumpy got under the ball, and then all of a sudden apparently called McDougal in on it. McDougal moved over to grab it. So Covington fouls to McDougal. Two out for the Braves. Runner at first base, and Dell Crandall the batter. Dell has two hits and 12 times at bat, batting .167. Last half of the second inning, no score. Yankees have two hits, and the Milwaukee Braves have but one off Whitey Ford. Outfield is pulled around the right. They're leaving the right side of the infield wide open for Dell. Swings and hits a bounce to the left side. Coming in is Lumpy. Charging the ball, shoots to the cross, and he's out. So the third baseman, Jerry Lumpy, moves in on that ball, throws over to Simpson, and in the second inning for Milwaukee, no runs, one hit, no errors, one man left on. At the end of two, the score, New York nothing, Milwaukee nothing.
Do you really want a decent shave? Do you really want a decent shave? Then shave the best, shave the best. With the blade that will break your fight, the best, shave the best.
We now pause 30 seconds for station identification.
They call me Sarah Silka, the girl from the Vichy Spring. My Vichy is the best in taste, the mixer with that extra zing. Look for the yellow label, insist on the genuine thing. Cause only Sarah Silka Vichy comes from the deep fat Vichy Spring.
WGY, WGFM, Schenectady. Rock bottom prices on Goodyear tires as low as $13.35. Get Goodyears from Albert E. Oliver in Albany, your Goodyear dealer.
Third inning now for the New York Yankees. It'll be Jerry Coleman, the second baseman, followed by Whitey Ford against Lou Burdett. Again, looking back to the past performance of runs in this, the 1957 World Series. The Yankees in the first game were not able to score in the third. In the second game, they got one run. In the third game, they got two runs. And yesterday, they got none in the third. Third inning has been a rather skimpy one for Milwaukee. Only in the second game were they able to get a run.
Number 22, Jerry Coleman.
So Jerry Coleman, who has four hits and 13 times at bat with a .308 batting average, steps in there. Steps out now as Lou Burdett moves around to pick up a little rosin and Joe Paparella moves around. Coleman has asked umpire Paparella to take a look at the ball.
umpire says it's okay. So Coleman is set to go. Right-hand batter. Jerry is one of the few remaining ball players who wears his baseball trousers up tight around his knees in the fashion of the old-timers. Lou Burnett, who pitches as well as the modern or the old-timer, is ready in the windup, and the pitch comes down. Strike call with a fastball over the outside corner. Burnett, with that movement of his as he delivers the ball, actually keeps these batters guessing just about when he's going to deliver. It's a very unusual motion. Shakes his arm, sometimes comes sidearm, and has a crossfire where he moves over towards third. One strike pitch now to Coleman. It's an overhand curve, high and inside. One ball, one strike. The outfield for Milwaukee is straight away with Covington, Aaron, and Pafko. Felix Mantilla has moved in at second base, replacing Red Shaneyst. Ready to work now is Lou Burnett. Darrell Crandall down, giving the sign. Here's the 1-1 pitch to Coleman. Pass ball over the inside corner, strike two. Well, Burdett keeps him guessing. He stands back there, looks in, gets himself a little rosin, pops it down on the mound, and toes the rubber. Here's the 1-2 delivery, a swing and a ground ball hit to the right side. Mantilla over, scoops it up, makes the throw, he's out. Ford is due up there now. Whitey has been up to bat three times, and he has not had a base hit. Solo Burnett working here in the top of the third inning with the Yankees and the Milwaukee Braves scoreless. Left-hand batter. The outfield for Milwaukee is straight away. Pafko is fairly deep in right. Matthews in close at third. The pitch is high and outside. Ball one. So Burdett looks in now to ask umpire Joe Paparella whether the ball was high or low, and the umpire indicates that it was high. One ball count, and the windup and the pitch on the way. Swung on, a bounce to the right side, moving into Mantilla. Big hop, throws to first, he's out. Two out in the third inning. As the Yankee bats suddenly try out the fielding of Felix Mantilla, and they find him equal to the occasion. Felix played third base, shortstop, and second base for the Braves during the regular season. Has great speed and a sure glove. And it's naturally a very important point for any team to have great bench strength. And this youngster is one of those necessary members. Hank Bauer, the leadoff batter for the Yankees, who singled in the first inning, is up there. Hank standing three quarters deep in the right-hand batter's box. Feet close together. Swings and hits ground to the left side. Over to his right is Logan. Shoots it across and a high throw. And the runner's safe. The throw is into the runner. Adcock moved off the bag to make the grab and took a swipe at Bauer coming by, but he couldn't get him. So the official scorer now must decide whether a good throw would have gotten Hank Bauer or not. And he decides it would not have gotten him, and so Hank Bauer is given credit for a base hit. His second of the ball game, and his sixth in the World Series. So Tony Kubek, left-hand batter, is up there. Johnny had to go deep in the hole for that ball, backhanded it, fired it across, and with his kind of underarm toss, similar to the one Phil Rizzuto utilized for so many years, a little too late. Base hit for Hank Bauer, three for the Yankees. Pitch to Kubek, swings and he misses, strike one. Is in close at third, right on the edge of the infield grass, protecting against a slash on that side by this left-hand batter. Mantilla deep at second, and at first base is Adcock holding against the runner, Hank Bauer. Burdett ready, checks the runner, delivers. There's a swing and a bouncer to Logan. He's got it, runs to second, steps on it, and Bauer is forced. So, in the third inning for the Yankees, no runs. They had one hit, no errors, and one man left on. At the end of 2.5 innings of play, the score is New York nothing and Milwaukee nothing. have you been catching any of Connie Ryan's signs to his batters? Yes, I have, Bob, but you know, I've been with this Milwaukee ball club all season.
Oh, that's right.
Well, I didn't, but I did notice he was using the flash system. Fans, you can get the basis for all baseball signs in Signals, the secret language of baseball, yours free when you buy a Gillette Super Speed Razor. You get the lowdown on how big leaguers call for the hit and run, suicide squeeze, and every other play in fingertip movies. You just flip the action photos off your thumb, you see Paul Richards demonstrate all the basic offensive and defensive signals. It's all in Signals, the secret language of baseball, and yours free when you buy the Gillette Super Speed Razor. Light, regular, or heavy. One scientifically matched to your face for the shaves of your life. Clean, refreshing, comfortable. You get the works. Razor, Gillette Blue Blade Dispenser, trim travel case, and Signals, the secret language of baseball, for just $1. The pitcher steps in there, takes a curve from Whitey Ford, strike one. Ford has given up only one hit. He's walked one batter. Delivers, there's a swing, a bouncer back of second, moving over is McDougal. He's got it, throws to first, he's out. So McDougal racing in, grabs the ball and throws to Harry Simpson for out number one, the third inning. No score. And Felix Mantilla comes up there to see what he can do. He has appeared in one World Series game in which he was a runner, used yesterday in the 10th inning. Whitey Ford looking in there. Mantilla, right-hand batter. Here's the pitch to him. He takes inside and low, and it's ball one. Felix in the regular season, National League season, playing three positions, had 181 times at bat, had 43 hits, hit for a .238 average. Next pitch takes a curveball in the dirt for ball two. Yogi Berra making a classic one-handed grab of that one. Outfield for the Yankees, pulled around and split in right center. Gil McDougal deep at short, Coleman backed up at second. Whitey Ford taking a little time. We're in the last half of the third inning, scoreless ball game. Here's the windup, two-ball pitch. Fastball high inside, ball three. So the Milwaukee fans start to buzz a little. Ford has been nicked for only one hit. He delivers. There's a strike call with a fastball, three balls, one strike. Mantilla looks down to Connie Ryan once again. Connie calling the signs down there. 3-1, and the windup by Ford, and the pitch on the way. Swings and a bouncer hit near the hole. McDougal grabs it, shoots it across to Simpson. He stretches, he grabs it, he's out. So Whitey gets himself out of a spot after working to a 3-1 count to Mantilla. Gets him to bounce out to Gil McDougal. Two away for the Milwaukee Braves in the last half of the third inning. Johnny Logan is up there. John, pop to the second baseman, Jerry Coleman, in the first inning. He's a right-hand batter. And Ford winds and delivers. A curveball hit out into left center field, a fly ball. And waiting for it is Tony Kubek. Moves in under it and takes it for out number three. So very quickly in the third inning, the Milwaukee Braves go down in order. No runs, no hits, no errors, and nobody left on. And at the end of three, it is New York nothing and Milwaukee nothing.
Look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp and listen, mister. How do you fix for rage? How do you fix for rage? You better catch. Please make sure you have enough. Cause a worn out slave makes you shame and light up. How do you fix for rage?
For the fourth inning, we'll send up Gil McDougal, Yogi Berra, and Enos Slaughter. And in the fourth inning, in the previous four games of the World Series, the Yankees in three of the four games did not score in the fourth. Their game got two runs. The fourth inning is a big one for Milwaukee, at least was yesterday, when they got four runs on Hank Aaron's help with a three-run home run. So, this is the beginning of the fourth. And Lou Burdett who has given up three hits, who has walked one, has struck out one, and has not walked a batter, is hopeful of continuing his ability to get these Yankees out even after he gets them on. The Yankees have started every inning by getting the first man on. So, leading off is Gil McDougall, who flied to right field in the first inning in a fine catch by Andy Pafko, who took it just above his knees. Sun shining brightly, and the shadows move out along first base. And at game time, as we started, it was about 62 degrees. I'm sure it's warmer now. Eddie Matthews moves in a step or two off the edge of the infield grass at third. The windup by Burdett and the pitch to McDougall. Takes outside. A fastball, ball one. Outfield spread out in all fields. Covington very deep in left. It is 320 down the left field line. 402 straightaway center field. Next pitch swings and hits a long drive deep in the left field. Going back is Covington. Back near the wall. He goes up in the air. And he comes down with the ball. Great catch by Wes out in left center field, making that fence bend and bulge, and stealing from Gil McDougall a home run. Yogi Berra steps up, hits a bouncer down the first baseline. Passes on, and can't get it, and the runner's on. That ball, as Adcock waited for it, played Joe and bounced off his right knee. And as he went to grab for it, he couldn't find the handle, and it's an error. So Yogi's on with an error, charged to the first baseman, Joe Adcock. Well, they'll be talking about that play by Covington for some time to come. That ball was lined out there in the left center field, hit between the 355 and the 394 foot marker, and was went way back up there, went up off that fence and made it bulge as he pulled it down and then turned a somersault as the recoil off the fence pushed him back out. That's the second error in the series for the Milwaukee Braves. And the left-hander continues to work for Milwaukee in the bullpen as Berra gets on in an error. And the batter is Enos Slaughter. He got a single in the second inning. He died at second base as Simpson struck out and Crandall threw down for the double play. Pitch to him outside, ball one. Taylor Phillips, the left-hander, who's been working in the first and the second, is working again in the third inning. Lou Burdett is working out there on the mound for the Milwaukee Braves. He's had great support so far. And with Joe Adcock opening the door for only the second error by Milwaukee, the Braves will be trying even harder to close this door. Yankees have committed three errors so far in the series, two for the Braves. Fastball is outside, ball two. We are now in the top half of the fourth inning here in Milwaukee's County Stadium. Two balls, no strikes to count. Enos Slaughter, the batter. And out of fairness to Joe Adcock, I presume it must be pointed out that that shadow, which now extends from the stands, covers first base and would make it a little difficult for a first baseman to actually get a good look at that ball. Yogi leads away, and the pitch is a strike. Two balls, one strike. Squeezing those hands, working to cover that ball, trying to work the gloss off so that he can get a good grip on it. Throws the rosin bag down, looks over to Berra. Joe Adcock holding against Yogi. The catcher for the Yankees leads away from first. Here's the 2-1 pitch. Swung on. The liner hit out in the left center field. It's going to drop in there for a base hit. Berra holds it second. So Slaughter comes through with his second hit of the ball game, a slash into left field. And the Yankees now have runners at second and first, one out. And Harry Simpson is up now. Finds Enos Slaughter perched on first. Yogi Berra standing out there at second. Frankie Crosetti, coaching at third, walks out towards the foul line to motion to Yogi Berra, only one out. So Berra on with an error. moves to second as Slaughter slashes a single into left center field. And the batter's Harry Simpson. Simpson struck out in the second inning. Bauer and Slaughter have all of the base hits off Lou Burdett so far, four. Simpson swings on a changeup curveball. He misses for strike one. The Yankees have four hits off Lou Burdett. Milwaukee Braves have but one hit off Whitey Ford, a single by Andy Pafko. Braves have had only two men on base, Matthews in the first inning, and Pafko in the second. Ford put him down in order in the third. Simpson standing deep. Burdett checks the runners. The pitch to Simpson swings, hits that bouncer to Matthews. He throws to second for one. Matthews throws to first. And it is a double play. Matthews made that high grab and now was moving over towards third. Threw to Matthews at second for one, and the throwback was in time to get Simpson. And in the fourth inning, the Yankees get no runs. They had one hit, one Milwaukee error, one man left on base. And at the end of three and a half innings of play, it is the New York Yankees nothing and the Milwaukee Braves nothing. Earl, tell me something personal about these Milwaukee players. How many of them use instant lathers?
Well, Bob, I haven't actually counted noses, but it looks to me like most of them do.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, because more men use instant lather than any other kind of shaving cream. For their dough, this is the fast, modern way to get that clean, clean feeling only a shaving cream shave can give you. Today, Gillette Foamy gets the call. Convenient? Yes. It's that and then some. A touch of the nozzle releases rich stand-up lather that does a real bang-up job of beard softening. You shave on the double, and when you're through, you'll feel clean. Really clean. What's more, Gillette Foamy contains K34, the exclusive antiseptic that kills harmful bacteria while you shave. Sound like it's worth a try? Ah, you bet. A pressurized container of Gillette Foamy costs 79 cents and should last you about 3 months. Last half of the fourth inning, fifth game of the World Series, no score. And leading off for Milwaukee will be Eddie Matthews. Left-hand swinging third baseman came up with a fine play to start that double play. And he takes outside for ball one from Marty Ford. Braves had three important double plays yesterday. They've had two so far. Here's the windup and the one-ball pitch to Eddie Matthews. A fastball for a strike. 1-1. Matthews looks like he's looking for the curve. Because the left-hander, usually pitching to a left-hander, keeps the fastball outside where he can't pull it. 1-1 pitch is a curve on the outside corner. And it's one ball, two strikes. As Whitey Ford works that big slanting curveball of his. Matthews, who stands deep in that box, when that curveball hits the front corner, has no chance for it. Here's the 1-2 pitch to him. Curve is in the dirt. Two balls, two strikes. And the fans cheering as the ball bounces back away from Yogi Berra. No damage done. Nobody on base. Last half of the fourth inning. 2-2. Eddie Matthews to be followed by Aaron and Adcock as the Braves come up in the last half of the fourth inning. Fourth inning has been a good one in the World Series affairs of Milwaukee. Here's the 2-2 pitch. A broken bat and a swing down the right field line and it is foul. Eddie Matthews took a big swing, broke his bat. He walks back to the dugout to get a new one with the handle. And the barrel of it rolled out there along the first baseline. So Matthews sets the fans to buzzing as he creates a few toothpicks. Ed was using Joe Adcock's bat. He hit his home run with it. And now he probably has gone back to get his own. Or he may have borrowed another one from Joe. Oh, here's Eddie Matthews coming right back. New lumber, and with a 2-2 count. No runs, four hits, and no errors for the Yankees. No runs, one hit, and one error for Milwaukee. And Matthews trying to get things rolling. Jerry Coleman, the second baseman, shaded over near the first base side. And deep at second. 2-2 pitch to Matthews. Strike three, call with a curve. Throw Whitey Ford posts his first strikeout. Now he and Burdett are all even in that department, one apiece. And Hank Aaron's the batter. He lined to the left fielder in the first inning. hits in 17 times at bat, including his last time up in the series. Outfield playing straight away. Here's the windup by Ford, and the pitch, a fastball inside and low, ball one. Ford looking in for the sign. The windup and the pitch is a fastball over the outside corner for a strike, and it's one ball, one strike. Ford working very carefully, realizing, of course, that these Braves can really spank that ball if you make a mistake. A swing and a foul. One ball, two strikes as Aaron fouls the ball off his leg. In the last game that Whitey Ford pitched, the Braves did not score until the seventh inning, and the Yankees did not score until the fifth inning off Warren Spahn. So we are in the last half of the fourth inning, and the pitch comes down, a swing, and a ground ball to the left side, taking it in foul territory is Lumpy, and it is no play. Umpire Augie Donatelli of the National League moving right in on top of the line to take a good look and motioned immediately foul. So it's one ball, two strikes, one out. Hank Aaron, the batter, number 44. On deck is Joe Adcock. Buddy Ford has really been stingy. Ready to work in the 1-2 pitch. A swing and a bouncer, same spot, grabbed by the third base coach, Connie Ryan. So the count remains. One ball, two strikes. And Guerin takes this little pause to put the bat back of his shoulders, kind of stretch his back muscles. Ford apparently didn't like the idea of Ryan catching the ball and throwing it back of the plate. Here's a 1-2 pitch, and it's inside. Ball two. And he was shouting over to umpire Donatelli. Boy, they might have felt that baseball, pitchers sometimes have an unusual feeling. A ball will feel just right to them. Well, they're all supposed to be within a couple of grains of the same weight. Oh, Hank Aaron, still in there, 2-2, and Ford is ready, and he delivers, and Aaron swings, and he lands one in left field, a base hit. Enos Slaughter plays the ball off his chest, and Aaron makes a stab to go to second and holds up. As Slaughter pumps that ball into Gil McDougal. So Hank Aaron, hitting that slow curveball, he hit a changeup yesterday for a home run. Ford came in with a big slow curve, and he lines it into left center field for a base hit. And the Braves now have hit number two off Whitey. Joe Adcock. He is 2-for-13 in the series. Ford taking a look to first, steps off the rubber. Simpson holding against the base runner, Hank Aaron. The outfield pulled around the left a few steps. Left side of the infield backed up. Whitey Ford looks to first. And delivers now to Adcock, who swings and bounces one foul. So Joe Adcock, who has to be a big man for the Braves, is up there trying to see if he can't do something to help the cause and put something up there on the scoreboard for Milwaukee. Adcock had very little success against Ford in the second, or the first time he faced him. That ball to McDougal, throws the second for one, throw to first, double play. So Adcock repeats his performance of the first game as he bounces into a double play against Whitey Ford. No runs, one hit, no errors, and nobody left on. At the end of four, it is New York Yankees, nothing, and the Milwaukee Braves, nothing.
This is John Cameron Swayze with news of a significant advance in the science of writing. In my years of news reporting, I've had many a pen stop writing just when I needed it most. You probably had the same trouble. Chances are you weren't out of ink. The ink was simply clogged. Ink clogging, you see, is the major reason most ball pens stop writing. After years of research, PaperMate has discovered an exclusive new ink formula with an amazing additive called Flogen that ends ink clogging. Because of its remarkable lubricating and anti-clogging properties, PaperMate's new ink formula with Flogen writes all the time and every time, even on hard-to-write surfaces such as checks, glossy photos, even glass. So get smooth, dependable writing. Get a PaperMate. the only pen that has the exclusive new ink formula with amazing flowgen. You can still buy the new Papermate Piggyback Capri at no increase in price.
We're ready now to move into the top half of the fifth inning. Burdett will face Lumpy, Coleman, and Ford. As Lou Burdett and Whitey Ford are really locked up here in a tremendous pitcher's battle, with the Yankees getting four singles off the right-hander for the Braves. Lou won 17 games in the regular season while losing nine. Whitey Ford has given up two hits. He won 11 while losing five in the regular season, and both of these opposing pitchers today have won a victory in this, the 1957 World Series. Lumpy, who has been able to get three hits in eight times at bat in the series, looks at a fastball too low for ball one. Surprisingly enough, Lumpy, a left-hand batter, has two of his three hits against left-handers. Outfield straight away. Matthews in close at third as Burdett looks in to Del Crandall. Here's the windup and the pitch on the way to Lumpy. A curveball outside. And it's two ball count. Lou Burdett, number 33, smoothing the dirt out. Now takes the glove off, rubs the ball up. Eddie Matthews keeps flashing over, taking a look at Frankie Crosetti. And watching in the Yankee dugout. Sometimes the third baseman pick up some signs in there. Next pitch, strike call as Lumpy shortened up, zipped a bunt. Two balls, one strike. We're in the top of the fifth inning. No score. Burdett taking time, trying to make sure on every pitch that he has it just where he wants to put it. Lumpy swinging that bat, flashes a look to Crosetti. 2-1 pitch on the way. Takes outside ball three. 3-1. Crosetti whistles down to Lumpy, and Matthews cocks an ear attentively and also gloms an eye over on Crosetti. Three balls and one strike. Here's the 3-1 delivery. Swings and slices one foul upstairs. Back of the Yankee dugout, back of third. So it's a three-ball, two-strike count. Gentlemen up there, the shirt-sleeve crowd sitting in the sun, and those who are sitting in the shade have their top coats with them. Three balls, two strikes. The outfield is straight away. Here's the windup. Payoff pitch to Lumpy. Swings and fouls one in the press box. Off to the left, bounces into the mezzanine where the box seat holders are enjoying the game and a souvenir. So it's 3-2. Lou Burdett with a new ball. Payoff pitch, a swing and a bouncer to Mantilla. Up with the ball, throws over to first, he's out. So Felix Mantilla comes up with a sharply hit ground ball, throws over to first for the out. One away in the fifth inning, and Jerry Coleman the batter. Jerry bounced out second to first in the third. Right-hand batter stands deep in the right-hand batter's box. Outfield playing him straight away. Matthews one step off the edge of the grass at third. Pitch by Burdett. Curveball high and inside. Ball one. No runs. Four hits. No errors for New York. Milwaukee, no runs. Two hits. One error. And we're playing in the top of the fifth inning. Burdett looking to Del Crandall. Starts the windup and delivers. There's a swing on a breaking ball. Looks like it might be a slider, and it's 1-1. Coleman takes a look out at Burdett in admiration for the ability that the right-hander has to fire that ball through there. All right, the windup and the 1-1 pitch to Coleman. Sidearm is hit out the right field line. It's curving foul. That's a sort of a crossfire sidearm where Burdett steps over towards third and then whips that ball around. And a right-hand batter, usually his first concern is to get out of there. That Coleman showing the great ability of major league hitters, standing in there and taking a slack at it. One ball, two strikes. Burdette working very carefully. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Swings in, a ground ball hit the right side. Mantilla over to his left, up with the ball, throws the first, he's out. Mantilla does not have the great experience of Red Shandines, but he has great speed. And he breaks quickly to his left or to his right. And there's two out for the Yankees in the top of the fifth inning, and Whitey Ford comes along. And the Milwaukee fans, showing their great generosity, give to a great pitcher the accolade which certainly is due him. Whitey Ford standing in there. Tries to bunt, misses for strike. Whitey is pretty cute with that bat. He figured with Mantilla playing very deep, he'd drag one. And he missed the ball. One strike. Whitey Ford standing in there. Looks down now to Frankie Crisetti again. Eddie Matthews now watching both Crisetti and Ford. He's moved in about a step closer. Outfield straight away. Wind up by Burdette, and the one strike pitch comes down to Ford. Swings and misses strike two. So it's two strikes. One of the Texas League baseball owners said he'd like to have a pitcher like Burdette work out there in one of his teams because he figured with all that digging out there that he might hit an oil well for him. So Lou digs around. He's set to go on a two-strike pitch. There's a swing and a miss for strike three. And at the top of the fifth inning, the Yankees go down in order. Second strikeout for Lou Burdette. Top of the fifth. No run, no hits, no errors, and nobody left on. At the end of four and a half, score New York nothing and Milwaukee nothing. Well, it was interesting watching Eddie Matthews moving in, looking over the dugout, looking to the third base coach, trying to pick off those signs. You know, you get a figure bang out of every game trying to catch the signs, just as Eddie Matthews did. And now you can get the basis for all signs with Signals, the secret language of baseball. Yours free with the purchase of a Gillette razor. Here are eight separate reels taken from actual movies demonstrating baseball's offensive and defensive signs and signals. You riffle them with your thumb, and the fingertip movies of Paul Richards spring to life. First, he demonstrates showing you the pump sign, the combination, the flash. See how they call for the pitch out, the cutoff. To get your copy of The Secret Language of Baseball, just buy the Gillette Super Speed Razor, light, regular, or heavy. One is matched to your face for clean shaves that stay clean and immaculate hour after hour. A real buy for a dollar, Gillette Super Speed Razor, Gillette Blue Blade Dispenser, Travel Case, and free Signals, The Secret Language of Baseball. Now ready to take you over the last half of this ball game is my associate, Earl Gillespie. Right job, Bob. The last half of the fifth inning, Andy Pasco leads off for Milwaukee. The curve is going out. Line drive. Left side field. Makes it. Enos Water down to one knee. Grabs this ball. Fires it back into the shortstop. Bill McDougal. And Pasco's on his first base with a second consecutive base hit. Line smash. Into left center field. That is hit number three off Whitey Ford, who has been one of the pitching stars of the series. West Covington getting a tremendous ovation as he went high in the air back in the fourth inning to take a sure home run off Gil McDougal, a crashing catch against the fence and left. Andy Papko on first base and nobody out. No score the last half of the fifth inning. Game number five in the 1957 World Series. Covington fouled out to the shortstop, Gil McDougal, I'm afraid, in the second inning. He bunts one, a pop in front of plate, picked up and followed by Miller. First base gets his man, and there's a runner on second base. Little pop bunt. Out in front of the plate. Mara could not reach it. It bounced. It spun away from Yogi. He made the quick recovery. As the great catcher that Yogi Berra is, can do. Made the accurate throw to first base. And now Milwaukee has a runner in scoring position with one man out. No score in the fifth inning, and here is catcher Del Crandall. Del was thrown out by third baseman Jerry Lumpy on a slow roller back in the second inning. Weight-headed batter, Ford pitches a fastball low. That's ball one. Whitey Ford has allowed these Braves only one run in 13 innings of World Series pitching. Actually,
13 in the third inning now. One out here in the last half of the fifth. The Yankee outfield is playing around towards left, and so is the infield, as Crandall is a sharp full hitter. Whitey Ford checks the side from Barra. The 1-0 pitch, and a fastball misses outside. It's ball two, 2-0. Tied in victories with two apiece. Ford looking back at Andy Pafko, who leads off second base. Here is a curve as Crandall is trying to swing. He held up, and it's ball three, low inside, 3-0. On the walkie catcher, Del Crandall, who now steps out of the batter's box and is studying the signs that are flashing from the third base coach, Connie Ryan. All three, no strikes. There have been times in 57 when manager Fred Haney has let his power boys hit the 3-0 pitch. A swing and a foul. And Crandall had the green light. Fouling it off, it's ball three and strike one. Ball three and a strike one count on Del Crandall with one man out, Andy Pafko on second base. Ford delivers a swing and a pop up in the short left field. Might be trouble. Waters charging hard. He makes the catch. A looping fly ball to short left. Enos Country Slaughter racing in. Makes the catch. That is two away, and it brings up the pitcher, Lou Burdett. Is the only Milwaukee base runner to get as far as second base off Whitey Ford. So actually, this is the Braves' first scoring opportunity today. Whitey's allowed three hits. Lou Burdett has allowed four hits. The Braves have committed one error, their second in the series. The Yankees have no errors. Burdett, who was thrown off with a shortstop, Gil McDougal, steps in the batter's box. He's a right-handed batter. Straightaway stance. And he realizes now, of course, the importance of this situation with that big man out on second base in scoring position. Two outs. Southpaw Whitey Ford. Into the stretch. Glancing back over the left shoulder, delivers. The curve is swung on. And foul tipped, and it's strike one. Strike one count. The wind today out of the northeast is blowing across the outfield from the left field corner to the right field corner. Strike one count on Braves pitcher Lou Burdett. The leadoff man, second baseman Felix Mantilla, is in the on-deck circle. Andy Pafko leads off second. The pitch is swung on and missed, and that's strike two as Burdett went after Ford's curveball, breaking down and in to a right-handed batter. Strike two counts. Whitey Ford sets himself, and the pitch is swung on a fly ball to the center field. Tony Kubek going back in this ball, makes the catch, and then retires the side. In the fifth inning, no runs and one hit, no errors, and one man left. The score at the end of five innings, Milwaukee nothing, the New York Yankees nothing. The drive is on to stamp out paralytic polio in the United States and Canada. This dread disease can be virtually eliminated if everyone under 40 is properly inoculated with the shock vaccine. It has been found that three shots of the shock vaccine, properly spaced, are necessary for maximum protection, but even one or two shots is helpful. It is particularly important for preschool-age children, expectant mothers, and parents of young children to have these inoculations. If you and all members of your family under 40 have not received your three shot vaccine inoculations, you are urged to do so immediately. Please get in touch with your family physician or local health department now. Don't give polio a chance. We now pause 30 seconds for station identification.
Campbell's Soup time signal, 12 minutes past 4. Before you go to bed tonight, relax with a bowl of good hot Campbell's chicken noodle soup. WGY, WGFM, Schenectady. Lifetime guarantee on all Goodyear tires. Get Goodyears from Albert E. Oliver Incorporated in Albany, the name for your best tire deal.
Burdette will face the top of the Yankee batting order in the sixth inning. Hank Fowler, Tony Kubek, and Gil McDougal. Burdette has allowed four hits, and they are divided between Hank Fowler, who has two for two, and Country Slaughter, who has two hits and two trips. Now, Fowler in singling in the first inning, extended a 12-30 consecutive batting streak to 11 games, or to 12 games, rather. He beat out a hit to short of the third. So Hank is two for two, right-handed batter. Lou Burdette has the side, starts with a blocking motion, and the first pitch is fouled off on the first base side. This one will be out of play. Back in 1951, Burdette was wearing the uniform of the New York Yankees. And he was sent out to the West Coast, to the Pacific Coast League. He was involved in the trade with the then Boston Braves as the Yankees got the right-hander Johnny Sain. So Burdette goes against his old teammates. Here is a ball. It's high, and it's ball one and strike one. Hank Fowler leads off for the Yankees here in the sixth inning. These teams are equal so far in power display, as the Braves have hit five home runs. The Yankees have hit five. Ball one and strike one, the count on Hank Fowler. As his side, the outfield playing deep towards left. Fowler swings a high chopper to the third baseman, Eddie Matthews. Here's his throw, and he is out. Hank Fowler is thrown out by Eddie Matthews, who has a very strong arm over there at third base. In the fourth inning, he turned in a sparkling double play on a high bouncer off the bat of the first baseman, Harry Simpson. One out. Batter center fielder, Tony Kubek. Tony sacrificed Fowler to second base in the first inning. And we're safe on the fielder's choice. They'll be tied the side of the third when it's ground ball handled by Johnny Logan. Johnny moved over, tagged second base for the force on Fowler. Kubek, a left-handed batter, very pronounced close stance, and he takes the ball but slow. All one and no strikes to count on Tony Kubek. One out. Nobody on base for the Yankees, and there is no score. Sixth inning. Yankees lost their great star today, Mickey Mantle, who is sidelined with an injured shoulder. Here's the 1-0 pitch, and a strike is called. It's on the outside corner across the letters. Ball one and strike one. The Braves also lost one of their shining stars when Red Shandings was forced to the sidelines with a bad leg. Red started today's ball game, but Mickey Mantle did not. One man is out. Burdette, a slow, deliberate worker, fires away. Here's a swing, a ground ball to the second baseman, Felix Mantilla. Nice hop. Over to first base. He is out of that two away in the sixth inning. Two up, two down. And it brings up the Yankee shortstop, Gil McDougal, who has lined up half going right. And he was robbed of a home run in the fourth inning on that great catch by Wes Covington against the left field fence. Outfield is playing McDougal around towards left. Right-handed batter who takes a strike. Gil, so far in the series, has had three base hits in 15 times at bat. No extra base hits and two RBIs. A very steady performer for manager Casey Stengel. A time is called as Gil is having a little trouble with his right eye. Looks like something flew into it. Strike one count. Two outs, all set to go. Burdette's sidearm pitch swung on a ground ball to Mantilla's right. He's over, scoops it up. Here's his throw in. Plenty of time, and now he fires the side. Three up, three down. Nothing across in the sixth inning. The score at the end of five and a half is New York nothing and Milwaukee nothing. One of the home run sluggers so far in the series has been the guy who led the major leagues at home runs this year, the Braves center fielder, Henry Aaron. Season, though, Henry's a recreation leader in his hometown of Mobile. He works with the youngsters, gives them pointers on baseball, and things like personal care. Hank's a Gillette man, of course. He urges the boys to keep clean shave. Hank says a Gillette shave looks good and feels good. And you can paste that in your hat. Fast, really comfortable shaves call for a razor that's matched to your particular combination of skin and beard. So get hip to the Gillette Super Speed, light, regular, or heavy. One of these three has the precise blade edge exposure, angle and weight, to give you the kind of shaves that'll really send you. Clean, easy shaves that last for hours on end. Choose your Gillette Super Speed Razor today. With it, you get a dispenser of Gillette Blue Blades, handy travel case, and Signal, the secret language of baseball, all for the regular price of the razor set alone, $1. In the last half of the sixth inning, Milwaukee sends up the top of the batting order. Felix Mantilla, Johnny Logan, and Eddie Matthews. The sun dropping behind the first base grandstand now has extended the shadows out between home plate and the pitcher's mound. Here's a swing of ground ball to the shortstop's left. McDougal has this ball, throws the first base, and Mantilla's out. Felix going out to the first pitch is tossed out by shortstop Gil McDougal. Now when that pitcher delivers, the baseball will be coming out of sunshine into the shadows, which are halfway now between the plate of the mound, which makes it tough for these hitters. One man is out, nobody on base. Shortstop Johnny Logan, right-handed batter, and he takes a curve strike. Change-up curveball, and it's strike one. Logan has popped to second base, and he is flied to Tony Kubek in left center field. Johnny, one of the really big heroes for the Milwaukee cause yesterday, lined a double down the left field line in the last half of the 10th inning to send across the tying run. And the pitch is low. It's even up at ball one and strike one. His clutch double was overshadowed by the dramatic home run by Eddie Matthews that followed just a few seconds later that won the ball game 7-5 in 10 innings. But there was quite a picture on one of the Milwaukee newspapers this morning which showed Fred Haney with his arm around Logan while the team had Eddie Matthews and almost carried Ed off the playing field. Here is the 1-1 pitch. A swing and a drive back in the left field. Going back is Slaughter. He has the room out there, and he makes the catch. It's two away. Logan flies out to Enos Slaughter in left field. As Logan got good one on that ball, it brings up third baseman Eddie Matthews, who has walked and has been called out on strikes. His walk in the first inning marked the seventh time in the series that Eddie has gotten a free pass to first base. In the last half of the sixth inning, no score, and this is the first game of the series that has gone this far without a run being scored. Matthews, the left-handed batter, takes high. Ball one, no strikes. Eddie, one of two left-handed batters in the lineup today for manager Fred Haney. Curveball is low, and it's ball two. The other is left fielder Wes Covington. Of these managers, Casey Stengel and Fred Haney, have proved masters at the two-platoon system in baseball. Ball two, no strikes. Whitey Ford, sharp southpaw, fires a curve is low, and it's ball three. 3-0 on Matthews. With the center fielder, Henry Aaron, kneeling down off to the right of home plate. No strikes. Two outs. Nobody on base. A scoreless pitcher's duel in the last half of the sixth inning. Here is a strike on the inside corner above the knees. Matthews had backed away from the plate at the last second, hoping to throw off Whitey Ford. But Whitey's been around this game a long time. Kicks up his right leg and delivers, and a strike two is on the outside corner of the knees, and it's a full count. All three, strike two on Eddie Matthews, who when he first joined the Milwaukee ball club is known as the Santa Barbara Bomber. A swing and a high ground ball into the second baseman. Jerry Coleman waiting, makes the quick throw, and it's straight for first base. Eddie Matthews, with a burst of speed, beats the throw from Jerry Coleman. At the speed of Matthews, who's a pretty big guy at 195 pounds. And he beats the throw at first place, so there is an infield hit. Putting a runner at first place with two outs, and that is hit number four of Whitey Ford. Evens up the base, sets it for a piece. Henry Aaron, one for two, takes low inside a ball. Aaron, the brave center fielder, lined out to Slaughter in left field in the first inning, and lined a clean single to left center field in the fourth inning. So he has hit safely in all five
Houston's World Series game. The pitch swung on, chopped foul down the first baseline. The count is even up at ball one and strike one. Ball one, strike one. That infield hit was Matthews' third base hit of the series in 14 official times at bat. Aaron, the 23-year-old youngster from Mobile, Alabama, with a lightning-like wrist action at the plate. And he holds up on a strike that's over there. Letter high. Henry thought it was too high. Ball one and strike two. Ball one and a strike two down. Time is called by Yogi Berra. Yogi's going out to talk to Whitey Ford. Whitey's working with a runner, Eddie Matthews, at first base and two outs. Goose eggs on the scoreboard in right center field. New York nothing, Milwaukee nothing. These two great ball clubs, even Steven in base hits with four apiece. Nip and tuck battle all the way today as Whitey Ford checks with Yogi Berra, who's back behind the plate. The outfield deep and straight away. The second baseman, Jerry Coleman, has opened a wide gap between himself and the first baseman, Harry Simpson, as he has moved over towards the bag at second base, while Simpson is holding the runner out at first. Waiting for his pitch. A swing and a pop-up in the short right field. This might be trouble. Ballers on the run. He is jumping into the base hit. Here's Matthews on a play in the third base. The play goes to second. Looking single to start by three by Hank Aaron. And Texas later.
In the science of writing. In my years of news reporting, I've had many a pen stop writing just when I needed it the most. You probably had the same trouble. Chances are you weren't out of ink. The ink was simply clogged. Ink clogging, you see, is the major reason most ball pens stop writing. After years of research, Papermate has discovered an exclusive new ink formula with an amazing additive called Flojum that ends ink clogging. Because of its remarkable lubricating and anti-clogging properties, Paper Mate's new ink formula, Whisplosion, writes all the time, every time, even on hard-to-write surfaces such as checks, glossy photos, even glass. Get a Paper Mate, the only pen that has the exclusive new ink formula with amazing Flosion. The Paper Mate Piggyback Capri is still just $1.95.
Top half of the seventh inning. Yankee fans here at Milwaukee County Stadium are taking that seventh inning stretch. It'll be Yogi Berra, Enos Slaughter, and Harry Simpson, the first three men to face the right-hander, Lou Burdette. And as we glance out towards the bullpen, located 394 feet from home plate in right center field, a big right-hander, Don Larson, begins cranking up for manager Casey Stengel. Berra, a left-handed batter, has been thrown off with a shortstop, Johnny Logan. And then he was safe on an error by the first baseman, Joe Adcock, in the fourth. So here is Yogi leading off. A left-handed batter, and Burdette's first pitch is over the two low. That's the ball. Yogi today is playing in his 52nd World Series ball game. Ball one and no strikes. Outfield is playing the Yankee catcher around towards right field. Burdette touches into the windup and delivers, and a ball is low outside. It's 2-0. Ball two, no strikes. 41-year-old veteran who has given Burdette nothing but trouble today. Slaughter is on deck. Yogi Berra is out in front. Now let's see how Casey plays this. It's ball two, no strikes. Will he have him hitting? And he takes a strike. So Barrow is watching on that 2-0 pitch. Ball two and strike one. Braves lead the Yankees 1-0 in the seventh. Burdette starts the rocking motion. The arm around, the pitch swung on, a hard smash. It goes in the right center field for base hit. Yogi Berra singles in the right center field. Some action now in the Milwaukee bullpen as a left-hander. Taylor Phillips begins loosening up with a right-hander, Don McMahon. Enos Slaughter. Left-handed batter stepping in has singled the center field, and he has singled the left field. That base hit by Yogi Berra was hit number 5 off Burdette. And the Yankees have the tying run at first base, nobody out of the seventh. Reaches down for the rosin sack. Throws it down. Paws it in with his spike shoes as he gets his sign from Crandall. Here is the pitch, and Slaughter takes a strike. And look up that pitch on the outside corner just above the knees. Spike went down. Phoenix Mancia yelling over to the shortstop, Johnny Logan. It's always pre-arranged who's going to cover that bag at second base. Depending on, of course, on the hitter. Barrett leads off first base. Nobody out. The pitch is going to bubble on. It's a foul ball. That's behind the plate. Then out in front of the plate with Crandall scrambling for it. 37th manager of the Cincinnati Redlegs and a sharp catcher himself during his playing career, has always admired Crandall's quick speed at getting out in front of the plate in the bunt. Two count on Enos Slaughter. Nobody is out. A Yankee runner, Yogi Berra, at first base as the Yankees trail 1-0. On deck is Harry Simpson. Production of the stretcher comes the pitch, and there's a swing and a ground ball to the shortstop. Left, he has the ball, steps to second base out. Over to first base, double play. Today, and it's 6 in the last two ball games. This one going Logan to Joe Adcock. Johnny took that play himself, a ground ball to his left. So there are two outs as the first baseman, Harry Simpson,
steps into the batter's box. Porter's failure to bunt on that second strike pitch, hurting the Yankees' cause here in the seventh, as he was forced to hit away and grounded into the quick double play. Here is a ball low to the left-handed batter. Ball one and no strikes. 2 minute out. And Burdette pitching a fine ball game is the left-hander Whitey Ford. Up the pitch, and Simpson swings and foul tips this ball. It's even up at one and one. Harry Simpson with a tremendous cut. Ball one, strike one. Joe Adcock with his left-handed batter, Harry Simpson at the plate, is really hugging that first base foul line. He's only about a step off the line and on the edge of the outfield grass. The outfield shaded slightly towards right. Mantilla actually is playing Simpson around towards his right, over towards the bag at second base. Ball one and strike one. Here is a swing and a ground ball to the shortstop, Johnny Logan. Throws the first base. He gets out of that and fires the side. In the seventh, the runs and one hit. No errors and nobody left on base. The score at the end of six and a half innings, Milwaukee one and the Yankees nothing. He's been playing it cozy today. Quite a few of these New York Yankee hitters went behind with Lou Burdette have been taking that next pitch. Signals, the secret language of baseball, shows you how and when the manager gives the sign for the hit or take. That's Gillette's World Series special, and you get it free with a Gillette Super Speed Racer. Taken from an actual film of Paul Richards, manager of the Baltimore Orioles, here are all the basic offensive and defensive signals of the game in fingertip movies. Zip the eight reels under your thumb and see the flash sign, the bump, the combination. Get the lowdown on how big leaguers call for the bunt, hit and run, the take, and every important play in the game. You enjoy the game more when you're up on Signals, the secret language of baseball. It's yours free when you buy the Gillette Super Speed Razor. Light, regular, or heavy. Match to your face for quick shaves, clean shaves, by far the most comfortable you've ever known. $1 gets everything. Razor, Gillette Blue Blade Dispenser, Travel Tape, plus Signals, the secret language of baseball, free. Seventh inning, Wes Covington leads off for Milwaukee. The Blaze left fielder has no hits in one trip. He has sacrificed and fouled out to the shortstop. A swing and a miss on Whitey Ford's curveball. Here is today's paid attendance, 45,811. 0-1 pitch, a curve is high inside of the strong left-handed batter, and it's ball one and strike one. We have seven more people out here today than we had for Saturday and Sunday's games when the attendance was identical, 45,804. The 1-1 pitch, a swing and a high fly ball stroked into short left center field. Tony Kubek is calling for this one, still drifting in. He makes the catch, and that's one out. So with one away, it brings up the catcher, Del Crandall, who was thrown out by the third baseman Lumpy in the second, and then fly to Enos Water in left field in the fifth inning. Del Crandall, who now in this series has two hits in 14 times at bat, is up with one man out and nobody on base. The Braves lead 1-0 in the last half of the seventh inning. Whitey Ford, first pitch. A fast strike is called. Strike one count. At the outfield, way around to the left, and a curve is outside. It's a ball, so it's even up at 1-1. Milwaukee has one run on six hits. The Yankees, no runs in five hits. The Braves in the series have clicked off eight double plays to three for the Yankees. Milwaukee has had six double plays in the last two ball games, which have helped Spahn and Burdette tremendously. Here's a ground ball to the shortstop, picked up by McDougal to throw to first base in plenty of time, and it's two away. Incidentally, fans, don't forget that tomorrow's a traveling day for both these teams. So we'll be back on the air Wednesday afternoon at 12:45 Eastern Daylight Time
with the sixth game of this exciting World Series. That's Wednesday afternoon, the day after tomorrow, so tune in, won't you? Wonderful ovation for Lou Burdette. Lou, a right-handed batter with two outs, nobody on base, cuts over a curveball, and it's like one. Burdette was thrown out by McDougal in the third, and he flied out to Kubek in center field in the fifth. Today, three or four times, has turned his back on home plate and has stared out of the outfield, just taking a breathing spell. The pitch is low, and it's a ball. Ball one and strike one. Every pitch in a World Series game carries so much weight, and these fellas have been very careful all the way through. Two outs, 1-1 pitch. Swing on, miss, strike two, as Burdette went after that curveball again. It's 1-2 on Lou. One and strike two. Here is the pitch. And a strike three. He is called out to retire the side. In the seventh, three up, three down, nothing across. At the end of the seventh inning, the score is Milwaukee 1, the Yankees nothing. So there is plenty of action now in the bullpens in right center field as we go to the top of the eighth inning with the tail end of the Yankee batting order coming up. Jerry Lumpy, Jerry Coleman, and possibly a pinch batter for the pitcher Whitey Ford, as Case has those two right-handers loosening up in the bullpen. Frank Torrey is at first base, replacing Joe Adcock here in the eighth. A left-handed batter, a swing, a ground ball right back to Burdette. There's his throw to first base. Jerry Lumpy is out of that one away. One out. Nobody on base. And we go down to the second baseman, Jerry Coleman, number eight hitter in the Yankee batting order. Coleman has been thrown out twice by the second baseman, Felix Mantilla. Milwaukee's outfield shadows Coleman around towards left. Now, Aaron, as I mentioned, that's moving over almost to straightaway center field. The first pitch to the right-handed batter is a close strike on the outside corner, right around the knees. Jerry Coleman steps out of the batter's box. Down at Frank Crosetti, coaching at third base with Charlie Keller over at first base for Casey Stengel. Strike one count. One man is out. Here's the pitch. A swing on, a looper to short right field. This is going to be in for the base hit. Picked up on the first bounce by Andy Papko. His throw comes into Felix Mantilla, and the Yankees have a runner on first base with one out. Looping single to right for Jerry Coleman, and that is his fifth World Series base hit. Gives him five hits in 16 times at bat. Whitey Ford is walking up towards home plate. So Casey's going with a pitcher, Whitey Ford. Although the action still continues in the Yankee bullpen. Now a time is called by Frank Crosetti as he looks over towards the bench and Stengel is up and pacing up and down, and he is going to go to a pinch batter, I believe. Whitey Ford is standing outside the batter's box. Looks like Elston Howard had gotten up off the bench and was talking with Casey, as much of the bench as we can see. Mickey Mantle has now come out of the dugout. Mickey Mantle is going in as a runner. Mickey, who has a bad right shoulder, injured in a slight collision with Red Chaney in Saturday's game. So Mickey Mantle is running for the second baseman, Jerry Coleman. And Elston Howard is going to bat for the pitcher, Whitey Ford. Howard yesterday with two outs and runners on first and second base in the ninth inning of the Yankees trailing 4-1, fell at a Warren Spahn pitch deep into the left field bleachers for a dramatic 3-run home run to tie the ball game at 4-4. So here is Elston Howard hoping to repeat for the New York Yankees. a left-hander, and Bob Buell, a right-hander. Working into the bullpen, here is the pitch to Howard. He takes the strike. Elston Howard. It'll be either Dittmar or Turley for Casey in the last half of the eighth inning. Mickey Mantle on first base with one out of the top of the eighth inning. Milwaukee leads 1-0. In a tense, brilliantly pitched ball game out here this afternoon. Base hits are now even up at 6-3. Right-handed batter, Elston Howard. Swings and fouls this pitch high into the stands in the first place side, and it's strike two. Howard has 3 hits and 9 times at bat. In this series, he has 1 home run, 3 RBIs, and he's batting at 333. He has played in all 5 ball games now. Runner on first base with 1 out of the eighth. Field about straight away. Burdett has his sign from Crandall. Strike two pitch. Quick three.
Richardson
is in at second base.
And he will bat eighth. A check of the figures show that I was wrong, that Richardson has appeared in this 1957 series, going in as a pinch runner in one of the earlier ball games. Bob Turley goes to work on the top of the Milwaukee batting order. A fastball right-hander who goes without a windup. So the Braves hitters will have to be ready. Felix Mancilla, Johnny Logan, Eddie Matthews, and the first pitch to Felix. Swung on a drive back into center field. Way back on this ball is Tony Kubek, under and makes the catch. Turley's first pitch, belted in the center field, caught by Tony Kubek. Braves lead 1-0 in the last half of the eighth inning. One man is out, and here is shortstop Johnny Logan. They have changed the batting order now, that Turley is going to bat eighth, and Richardson ninth. Single having the option on that. There is a curve low to shortstop Johnny Logan. Ball one and no strike. Johnny has popped to second base. He has flied to left center field to Kubek, and he has flied to Slaughter in left. 0-3 for the Braves shortstop. The pitch to Logan, and a swing and miss on a curve ball. It's even up at ball one and strike one. Bob Turley, who was born in Troy, Illinois, now lives in San Antonio, Texas. He's 6 feet two and 215 pounds and 27 years old. Bobby Richardson is from South Carolina, from Sumter, South Carolina. Only 22-year-old, a rookie this year. He's 5'9", 164 pounds. And he covers a lot of ground out there at second base. The pitch to Logan, Johnny swings and fouls it off into the crowd. Behind the plate, and it's now ball one and strike two. A ball one and a strike two count. Bob Neal just noticed something very interesting. Bob, of course, as a Clevelander, has had the occasion to watch one of the greats of our time, Bob Feller, work. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Strike three, Logan is called out. There's strikeout number one for Turley. And Bob Neal pointed out that Turley has movement similar, especially when he's walking, as that of Bob Feller. Two outs. Nobody on base. 1-0 ball game, last half of the eighth inning. Eddie Matthews, who has walked, called out on strikes, and singled in the infield in a key base hit in the sixth inning, is up there now, and the first pitch to Matthews is a slow curve, the slow inside, a ball. On a very close play at first base with two outs and nobody on base, Matthews beat a throw from the second baseman, Jerry Coleman. Aaron Fowler with a base hit, and Joe Adcock with a base hit to right field, scoring Eddie Matthews with the only run so far in the game. Here's a swing and a high foul. It's going up into the upper deck, directly behind the plate. It's even up at 1-1. A southpaw, Tommy Byrne, warming up for the Yankees now. Ball one and a strike one count on Matthews. Bob Buell is still loosening up for the Braves in the bullpen in right center field. Henry Aaron on deck, two outs, nobody on base. Last half of the eighth. Turley's pitch, fastball is outside, ball two. He's got a blazer. Missed the outside corner. Ball two and strike one. With a sign from Yogi Berra, and a strike is called. His fastball this time was on that outside corner below the belt. So the count is even up now, ball two and strike two. Braves scored in the last half of the sixth inning. Turley takes a deep breath on the mound, shrugs his shoulders, delivers, and there's a swing and a foul tip off Yogi Berra, with the count remaining at 2-2. Fans, there'll be no World Series broadcast tomorrow. Our next broadcast emanates from Yankee Stadium on Wednesday afternoon at 12:45 Eastern Daylight Time.
Tomorrow is a travel day for these two teams. Ball two, strike two. Two outs, the pitch. Strike three. He's pulled out to retire the side. Three up and three down, nothing across, and the score at the end of eight innings, Milwaukee one, and the Yankees nothing.
Look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp and listen, mister. How are you fixing for play? How are you fixing for play? You better check. Please make sure you have enough, or the worn out play makes you save and mind.
In the top half of the ninth inning, the 30-year-old right-hander, Lou Burdette, who was born in Nitro, West Virginia, must face the top of the Yankee batting order. Hank Fowler, Tony Kubek, and Gil McDougal. He is protecting a one-run lead as we go to the ninth. 1-0, the Braves lead the Yankees in their fifth game of the World Series. The series standing even at 2 victories apiece. Hank Fowler has two of the 6 hits off Lou Burdette. He singled the left in the first, two deep short in the third, and he was thrown out by Matthews in the sixth. Fowler, a right-handed batter, steps in now as Burdette starts fidgeting. Outfield playing Bauer around towards left field. Here is the pitch. And Hank takes high, a ball. Ball one and no strike. Ball one, no strike count. Bauer has one home run so far in the series, and that was hit off this right-hander at Yankee Stadium in the second game of the series. Ball one and no strikes. Logan deep at short. Matthews about even with a bag at third base. Here's a swing and a ground foul over the third base coach's head. Mike Crosetti ducking out of the way. Ball one and strike one. Usually, as you glance down in the playing field and you look at coaches of these major league teams, you can find a lot of fond memories of great playing days with just about every one of them. And there's two down here for Casey Stengel, Mike Crosetti, and Charlie King Kong Keller. Ball one and strike one, the count on Bauer. Burdette starts into the windmill windup, and he delivers a swing and a miss. 1-2. 1-2 on Bauer. Hank went after a breaking pitch. Right-hander Don McMahon. And another right-hander, Ernie Johnson. In the bullpen now for Brett Haney. Ball one and strike two on Bauer. Leads off in the ninth inning. Burdette. Right arm pitch. Swing on this. Pitch three. One away. Right arm curveball and Bauer was chasing. That strikeout is number four for Burdette. Brings up the center fielder, Tony Kubek, who sacrificed in the first. Safe on a fielder's choice in the third and was thrown out for the second baseman of the sixth. Kubek, 0-for-2 officially today. One man is out, nobody on base in the ninth inning. Braves lead 1-0. The pitch is a strike on the inside corner knee high. Burdette with a wide assortment of stuff. Again, his head, great control. He has put that pitch where he wanted it. Keeping that breaking stuff down around the Yankee hitter's knees. Strike one count on Tony Kubek, one of the batting stars of the series. And Tony swings and fouls up this ball, bouncing high in the air off the catcher, Del Sandel. Del picks it up and hands it to umpire Joe Paparella of the American League. Burdette with a wide assortment of stuff. Again, his head, great control. He has put that pitch where he wanted it. Keeping that breaking stuff down around the Yankee hitter's knees. Strike one count on Tony Kubek, one of the batting stars of the series. And Tony swings and fouls up this ball, bouncing high in the air off the catcher, Del Fendel. Del picks it up and hands it to umpire Joe Paparella of the American League. So Burdett is out in front of Tony Kubek with a strike two count. One man is out. Ninth inning at Milwaukee County Stadium. The Braves won. The Yankees nothing. These fans are buzzing here at the stadium now. 45,811. Burdett into the windup. And the 0-2 pitch. A swing and a miss. A key base hit in the ninth inning in Sunday's game. Yogi Berra. He's little, but he is solidly built, and he's strong. McDougal on first base, two outs, ninth inning. Outfield deep to the right. Burdett pitch, swung on, a pop up in the infield. Eddie Matthews coming down, falling for it.